I'm going to start with reading a verse this morning. I'm not going to read the verse that I have in my notes. Mike gave me this little Advent devotional, and I just sift through it real quick, and this kind of fits. It's fitting, so I found this in here. This is from Matthew 2:11. On the coming to the house, these are the wise men. Do you know there's more than three wise men probably? There's probably like a whole caravan of them. Gosh. 26, I'm just figuring this stuff out. I'm 26, right?
Wow.
So on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's something that stands out. It'll be more clear as we go on, but I enjoy the thought that other than this baby, and I'm not trying to minimize this fact, other than this baby is God himself in the flesh come to rescue us, which is a massive thing. All the appearances say this is just a child in some random place on the earth. Nothing really special about this moment, but they worship him, present him with gifts. I think that as we get to know who God is, as we get to understand how great he is, he becomes all that matters. All the other factors just don't matter. Because we realize just in comparison how insignificant they are. We're going to talk about that a bit this morning. Advent starts today. I remember last week I kind of jumbled it up a bit. But Advent starts today. I guess it starts 4 Sundays prior to Christmas. And this is one of those rare years where Advent begins December 1st. The 1st is on a Sunday, and this is 4 Sundays prior to Christmas. So this is the first day of Advent. This is the first day of this season of anticipation. And we know this anticipation. Even though Christ has come as a baby, died on a cross, rose again, we are still anticipating this next coming, right? And so we know this anticipation. So I read this week, someone said, Christmas for a Christian is a letdown of what we're anticipating, or it's a reminder of what we're anticipating, but a letdown every year. Because the fulfillment of that anticipation hasn't come. And that's what we're waiting for, right? We're not waiting for Christmas Day, or to get gifts and all that. We're waiting for Jesus to come again. So I enjoy Christmas. Christmas is the absolute best. How many of you agree that Christmas is the best? Trevor agrees it's the best. Students agree that it's the best. It is the best. And no matter how many times I say it, I'm going to say it again, I love Christmas. We started playing Christmas music in youth group first week of November. First week of November, Christmas music. Huh? It was the second week? No, we played it a little bit the first week. We were in the Christmas spirit a long time ago. Set up our tree like 3 or 4 weeks ago. Yeah, decorated everything. Everything's ready to go for Christmas. I love Christmas. And as a kid, you're just the anticipation for Christmas is the presents. It's what am I getting this year? It's all of that. But as an adult, I don't know about you guys, but I went through this period where for a few years, Christmas was just Christmas. It's like, okay, it's just Christmas. And then, as I grew deeper and deeper and deeper in my relationship with Christ, it reopened up. And it became new again. And this amazing thing, because now, the story of Christmas has come alive. I see the world-changing impact of Christmas and the personal impact it has on my life. what truth that it is screaming out for the world to embrace. Christmas has become just brand new. We've been talking about this topic. We've been on this theme of more. We have, I think, 3 more weeks in this theme of more. We are going to wrap it up soon, Eric and I, but we've kind of established the idea that Jesus is more. Jesus equals more. There's no other way around it. Jesus more. More doesn't equal Jesus. And through Jesus' coming to earth, he gave us everything, all things. He gave us more. Romans says this. He says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Sorry, I butchered a bit. He doesn't withhold from us. He wants to give us all that we need. Christmas is that story of God giving us all that we need. All of it. Jesus. The Christmas season, this period of Advent, is a time to remember what God has done for us through his son, Jesus Christ. So this morning we're going to recall and we're going to reflect on Jesus coming in the flesh, because there's one thing that I don't want to happen. I don't want Christmas to become mundane. I don't want it to become ordinary. I don't want it to become regular. I don't want it to become routine, like another month, like August. Like, it's just August. It just happens. Any birthdays in August in this room? Okay. For you, it's not routine. It's different. But for the rest of us, it's just August. Nothing special about it. It's just another month. Super hot. No one wants it. Everyone wants to get out of August. I don't want to approach Christmas. I don't want to go through this season of Christmas without any awe and wonder, because it's there. It's there, right there in the Christmas story. The thing we are celebrating should make us pause and soak it in. Just remember, what is this season about, but what does it mean for me? Should almost reignite that flame inside of us. Remind us of the flame that God has for us. How passionate he is about his children, about you, and then about the whole world. About you as a follower and all of them. And when I say them, I mean everyone else in your life. So we take a moment to remember what this season is about, as to soak it in and let its power stew. The story, the Christmas story, is relevant, new year after year, because it continues to communicate to us not just what happened thousands of years ago, not who Jesus was, a baby, but communicates who Jesus is for us today. So we're going to talk about this, God with us. When I say God with us, what comes to mind? We have songs about it. Emmanuel, right? God with us. What else comes to mind when I say God with us? I'm going to demand answers. Huh? Holy Spirit? Okay, Holy Spirit in your heart, with us always, right? God with us. Is it a past thing where God was with us and now he's not anymore? Or a future thing where he's going to be with us, but he's not anymore? God with us. What about images? Any images pop up for anyone? It could be even just Christmas plays. You guys remember a few years ago, Micah did, he directed, produced all that stuff, a Christmas play here. Naomi reminded me I was one of the narrators in that. But it was all around this wonderful idea, this just God with us. How just earth-shattering that would have been. Like, here on earth, in the physical, we may not have seen much change. There's a baby coming. But you open up into the heavens, and you take a glimpse into the Spirit, and man, what was going on? I remember Micah in his play trying to do that, trying to peel back the curtain a little bit and give us a glimpse of just how crazy this moment is. How this moment just changed human history. It all just diverts from there. Let's read this. Matthew 1, 22-23. It says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophets. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." I always thought that word had an E in it. Huh? It could go either way? Okay. God with us. This sounds amazing. If you say God with us, this sounds to me like Eden-like. I think of the Garden of Eden. Just walking around with God. Of course, we don't want to make it like sound like it's too casual, you know. God is our God and we are his people. This idea that I'm with God all the time, that's amazing. And now we have a portion of that Holy Spirit inside us, right? So we get the glimpse of that, what that is like and what it's going to be like. It sounds amazing. Not just God exists somewhere out there. Not just God was with us or God is going to be with us, but God with us. See, the story of Christmas is a story of a people who receive their one and only hope. God with us. One and only hope. Think about that. The idea that you have one shot and there's one way it's going to happen through one person. Jesus Christ. And then that hope arrives. Just imagine some sort of superhero action sequence. It's that moment where you can be on this epic battlefield. And the one who is going to bring victory steps onto the field. And even though in the midst everything is going on you crazy, you can almost pause and relax. Put a smile on your face. The enemy's still there, but hope has arrived. Hope has come. This is the story of Christmas. And hope is proclaimed in the name Emmanuel, God with us. What is this hope? God is with us. Why are you hopeful? God is with us. Who is your hope? Jesus, who is God with us. This can't just become ordinary to us. I mean, we have to, that's why I start December 1 as early as I think I'm allowed to start talking about Christmas. That's why we want to take every moment we have as we go through this cycle of Christmas, just absorbing it all. You know, the Christian calendar, I didn't know this, in the Christian calendar, someone could correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not super versed in this. But the Christian calendar has all of these events that we celebrate. As you go throughout the year, you kind of celebrate and remember and recognize these events. And Christmas is one of those. But the Christian calendar actually begins with Advent. It doesn't begin with Christmas. It doesn't begin with January 1. It begins with Advent, this season of anticipation. You're just anticipating. When I think anticipation, I'm thinking, it's hard now because Amazon delivers packages so quickly. But when you do order something and it takes a week and you're like, a week? What do you mean a week? We're almost in 2020, a week. But when a package is on its way, I'm thinking in my head, I'm thinking about that thing, right? Is it here yet? I'm checking my tracking, right? Where is it? Okay, it left Utah, it's in Sacramento. What are they doing in Sac? Why has it been there for 2 days, huh? What's going on? I got a package that went to Rockland, then it went to Roseville, back to Rockland, and delivered from Rockland. What are they doing? When's it going to get here? I paid for this. I didn't pay for the shipping because I got Amazon Prime, free shipping. When are they going to deliver on my free shipping? When does this item get here? But during that season of, I know it's coming, and I don't have it yet, it's on my mind. It's just on my mind. It may not be on my mind 100% of the time, but until it gets there, I'm constantly reminded of it at some point through the day, right? I get alerts, I get something. When is it going to get here? And so Christmas, I want to start Christmas as early as possible so I can keep getting those reminders. Okay, I'm soaking it all in. I don't want it to be December 22nd, December 23rd, and realize that I just coasted through this celebration of our one hope coming to us. Amen? This is a season of deep anticipation. We reflect on what has happened and what is to come. We take it in. See, God with us paints a picture of what kind of hope this is. A lot of people have different ideas of what hope is and what hope looks like. Someone says, there is no hope. Why is there no hope? Because there's wars over there. There's famines over there. Oh, okay. I know what you're looking for. You're looking for world peace, and you're looking for an end to all these human problems. That is your hope. And anyone who can deliver that to you, that is the person you're going to see as your hope. What is your hope? Say that again. Say it louder. Jesus. God with us, Emmanuel, paints a picture of what kind of hope this is and where our hope resides. Christ alone. The story of Christmas helps us understand what God with us means and how it applies to us today, why we celebrate, and why we go boldly and proclaim hope to everyone else who feels hopeless, who thinks that this world is hopeless, who thinks that there's nothing to this. It's difficult in this Christmas season because, think about, I had statistics, but I didn't write them down. You know, over this next month across the world, millions of people are going to go through some sort of suffering during this season of Christmas. And so you're thinking, yeah, we're celebrating Jesus, we're celebrating his coming, we're celebrating our hope, but yet there's all this human suffering that's still here. What do you mean, hope? How can you say hope? And sometimes you say hope to someone and they just think, oh, you just put the blindfold on. If you take the blindfold off, you'd see there's no hope at all. But you put the blindfold on. You do your own little thing in your own happy little world. You just, in your own little bubble, you Christians. But no, that's not true, because God with us tells us exactly where the hope is. It resides in Christ alone. God with us is our hope, nothing else. Let's think about this. The Christmas story shows us that God with us is nothing like we would expect. And I love when Scripture does this. Just kind of takes you on like this little mind twirl thing. Think about this. Let's think about the Christmas story. To me, or if you're just looking at it at a glance, I don't want to claim this as my own thought. The timing seems a little off. If I were doing it, it seems a little off, right? So, one, this happened 2,000 years ago. Like, I would have chosen to be born in a hospital somewhere, right? In a hospital, like, warm and state-of-the-art, and maybe to a family with lots of money. Make sure that I was a comfortable little bean, right? It happens during when this, what would have been then, a near global census is taking place. And so Mary, toward the end of her pregnancy, has to take this journey on a donkey to a distant land. Now, I've never been pregnant. Not going to ever be pregnant. But I can only imagine that is not something anyone wishes to go through, right? All of you mothers, right? Would you want to be traveling on a donkey days after day after day? Yeah, she gave birth. She was in her third. I mean, this journey, I'm not sure about the timeline, but this journey could have taken place completely like in the third trimester. Like the whole time. I mean, not only is that, but they say, you know, the stress of the mother, you know, translates to the baby and you're all this. So it's like, okay, maybe there was a better time, right? Right? Because God with us is nothing like we would expect. And they get there and there's not even a room reserved. No room. Late end of the pregnancy, 2,000 years ago. To us, it sounds a little bit like poor planning. But God with us is nothing like we would expect. Not only this, but born during the time of King Herod and then his son, I'm going to say this wrong, Archelaus. But Herod finds out about this Jesus being born, the king of the Jews, and says, I got to find that baby and I got to take it out. So now not only is God with us, this baby boy, Jesus coming during all of this craziness, but now there's someone after him. And then when he dies, so Mary and Joseph flee to Egypt, and then they get the all clear. And then they realize, oh, geez, it's just his son that took over. And then they're directed to go somewhere else. Like, otherwise, our baby boy is going to be killed. So they go to Nazareth, and this is all under God's leading, though. God with us is nothing like we would expect. The method also seems a little non-efficient. Comes as a baby to a virgin. You think about this, coming to a virgin, Mary, in her time, this would have been she was basically being set up to have an extremely hard pregnancy and an extremely hard life, because now the rumor mill is always going to be churning, right? And then he comes as a baby boy, a baby human, helpless. So all of this is going on, and he's there trusting that the Lord is leading his human parents. This all just seems crazy. Like, sometimes when I think about God doing things, and we know how perfect this is, right? I'm just being a little silly here. But we all know, like, how perfect this story actually is. We know how it just lines up. We know the prophecies that it fulfills, and we understand that. But a lot of the times when we think of God doing something, we think, awesome, I'm thinking of the most efficient way in my head right now, so that's obviously going to be what's going to happen. And God says that he's going to be my hope, so I'm just going to wait here, waiting for, you know, all of the money in the world to be deposited in my bank, right? See, God works out his purposes in ways we don't expect and may not even want. You have to give props to Mary going through all of this. I'm not sure. I mean, this is not how I would have wanted it to happen. All of this craziness. God with us is not what we expect, and most of the time, it's not even going to be what we want. We may not be realizing what's coming toward us. But he is our one and only hope. God with us is perfect according to his will. At first glance, this God with us thing doesn't seem any better than God near us or God totally unfounded. You mean I'm still going to go through all this craziness? I'm still going to be running for my life? I'm still going to have to endure the rumor mill of all of this. The point of this story, or a point that we can pull out of this story, is that God with us is about God. That's where our hope is. And that's where he's trying to focus us in. Not about the circumstance, not about the people, not about how you're feeling, about God. That's where our hope is found. That's where our celebration is directed. Let's read this. Let's read Psalm 46, 1 through 3. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. All of this is said is, God is our refuge, our strength, our very present hope in a time of trouble. We don't have hope because the storm stopped. We don't have hope because the wind calmed. We don't have hope because the earth quieted. We have hope because God. Because God with us. Our God is so magnificent that we can rejoice in times of dire trouble. We can rejoice in the midst of fleeing for our lives because God with us. We have hope. He is our hope. His people can jump for joy as the earth quakes. His people can face any circumstances confidently because they have a firm hope that isn't rooted in circumstances, but in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so the challenge for me as I enter into the Christmas season is, where is my hope rooted? Am I looking for circumstances to go my way? And that's where my hope is? I start rejoicing when everything looks good? Do I neglect giving glory to God when the storms are coming? The earth is quaking. The wind is howling. My hope has to be rooted in Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this for a minute. When the winds blow and everything, what's the first thing people get worried about during strong winds? At least around here. I hear it. What's that?
Trees falling, right?
And because they can fall any which way, they can hit something, knock it out. Trees falling. A tree falls because the wind is so powerful that it overcomes whatever that root system is rooted in. Right? It overcomes that. And this is the same for us in our lives. When the storms of life come, our hope... Let me back up. When the storms of life come, what we're rooted in is going to start to dictate how we survive that storm or don't. If I'm rooted in circumstance, guaranteed, you're going to flying. And you're probably going to take down a few power poles with you. I know, right? That's good. Thank you. Any way we can get that's good thing recorded into the podcast too? Speak on. I'm joking. What are you rooted in? And this requires a serious self-examination. And then when I do a serious self-examination, then I realize that my own assessment is not good enough. And I have to go to the Lord to begin examining. Tell me where I am rooted. Am I rooted in circumstance? Because I can come and I can play drums with joy and I can sing at the top of my lungs, but I may not actually be rooted in anything solid. My hope may not, I may not be actually anchored to real, true hope. And so I ask the Lord, Lord, examine my heart. What am I rooted to? What am I holding on to? Where is my hope? Am I looking for financial stability? Because that's a real thing, right? And I want to make sure that my family's fed and we're taken care of. And am I rooted there, or am I in something that I can see? Is that what's making me comfortable? Or am I rooted in you? And so I ask the Lord, examine my heart. Tell me, where am I rooted? Because in that verse from Psalm 46, it doesn't say we have a hope because he stops the storm and because he prevents the earth from quaking and because harm won't touch you. It says we have a very present hope because God with us. God is with you. And so I ask the Lord, Lord, teach me to root myself in you, to root my hopes in you. Make this a reality to me over this Christmas season that you are true hope. And that's where hope is founded. I can root myself in it. I'm going to be that tree that doesn't fall down in the midst of the storm. In fact, I could be that tree that's rejoicing in the midst of the storm, praising God, because I'm rooted. Jesus is our hope. Not circumstance, not status, not security that the world offers. Jesus alone. Jesus alone is our hope. I'm going to speak to the young people for a second. In the younger years, this is such a world-shifting understanding of what security and what hope is. Because when I'm surrounded by a sea of my peers on a high school or junior high campus, and I want to be secure, well, security looks like people not picking on me. Security looks like me having an easy week at school. Security looks like I'm going to enjoy the whole week. Security looks like I have all the greatest things that my friends have and I'm not made fun of because I don't have them. But hope is only found in Jesus and Jesus alone. We'll talk about it more Wednesday. There's this idea that human evil can't thwart God's plans. You think about all of the human evil that Jesus was surrounded with when he was born. He was literally, you know, Herod sent after to kill this Jesus, to kill this baby boy. And when he couldn't find him, he just said, okay, we're just going to do a blanket sweep of the area. And we're going to slaughter all of the boys 2 years and under. Slaughter all of them. I read up on this trying to figure out how many that would be. And based on population, they say anywhere from 25 to 50 wiped out. But yet this is a time where we celebrate hope. Because human evil can't thwart God's plans. It wreaks havoc around us, affects our lives, but despite this, we have hope because God is with us. I think that, at least for me, the understanding of this is a lot easier than the actually like applying this. So this is why we have to ask the Lord to help us. Like, understand, yeah, God is God. Nothing's going to stop him, right? But when I'm in the midst of it, and these storms are blowing that are way stronger and way greater than I am, it's really hard in those times to see that I have hope. But we look to the Christmas story, and it reminds us that, look, regardless of circumstance, Jesus is our hope. His name, Emmanuel, God with us, proclaims the hope that we have. God with you. That's what you need. It's what we all need. God with us. And that's where our hope resides. I can imagine Mary and Joseph would have been tempted with thinking God abandoned them. And I probably wouldn't have held it against them. I mean, think about it. You're in the midst of it. You're told, hey, Mary, you've been chosen, and the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you're going to give birth to a baby boy who's going to be Christ the Savior. And she sings this magnificent song, this praise, thanking the Lord. And then she goes through all of this turmoil, craziness, traveling mid-pregnancy, giving birth in a barn, running for their life on multiple occasions. Not only that, you got to raise Jesus, which seems like it'd be a really easy job. But I think the human instinct, the human nature gets in the way of it a little bit. Like when Jesus is in the temple and they can't find him. Can you imagine not seeing your son for like days? Like, where were you? That's a tangent. I can imagine they would have been tempted with thinking God abandoned them. Looking at their circumstance, who could blame them? But there is no indication that they did. Jesus is the hope in which we rely despite life's troubles. God with us is the hope despite the unfavorable circumstances. And my prayer this morning for myself and for all of us is that the Lord helps entrench this in our hearts and our understanding so that we can grab hold of this. It's important that we celebrate this truth and soak it in because it isn't just our hope, but it's hope for the entire world. It's important that we understand this truth so that we can then pass it on, so that we then can communicate this, so that we can then come and partner with people in their time of tragedy or in their time of need. Say, why are you still hopeful? Why are you still rejoicing? And even when we're going through tragedy, they're like, why are you still even attempting to give thanks to this God? And you say, because there is no hope without him. This is what I've been trying to let just stew in my heart and mind, letting my gears turn around it. There is no hope without God. And with God, there is hope. And that's the equation. That's it. It's as simple as Jesus is more. And so the story of Christmas is God giving us all we need. Literally everything we need. God with us is hope for the world to hold on to. We haven't been abandoned. We aren't left to fend for ourselves. We haven't been doomed to destruction. We have been given eternal hope, which we can hold on to right now. This story that unfolded thousands of years ago, part of a story that's been unfolding longer than that, is for us right now. There's truth in it that we can hold on to right now. We're in the midst of this grand, cosmic, I don't want to just say story again. Scheme, plan. There's hope for us. So we celebrate. The search for more is found in Jesus. And the story of Christmas is one of God giving it all to us. Giving it all to us. Your more is found in Jesus. Look no further. It's found right there. Your hope is found in Jesus. Your search is over. The more you're looking for, the hope you're looking for, the security you're looking for, the joy, the peace, the place you're looking to where you can just root and stand secure, that's found in Jesus. This is the hope we can proclaim to ourselves, to each other, and all those around us. Over the next 4 weeks, this is my prayer, this time of Advent, that we can just soak it in. Lord, help me understand this truth and make it my own, that God with us, that you are my hope and nothing else. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in the midst of a chaotic world, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of a storm, as the earth quakes, that we can stand firm because we can root ourselves in your Son, Jesus, the Christ, our Savior, where our hope is found. Thank you, Father. We rejoice. And during this season of deep anticipation, we ask, Father, you help us take hold of this truth and make it our own. That we need not look any further than your Son, Jesus, for any of our needs. That our search is over. And that we can proclaim this truth, that we can proclaim this hope to the rest of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.